Another climbing season has begun on Mount Everest. In the coming months, mountaineers will attempt to follow in the footsteps of Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay, who reached the summit in 1953. Those ascents to the highest point on Earth are known throughout the world. But what about the descents into the deepest places on Earth? Like mountain climbing, deep or super cave exploration combines athleticism, science, competition, and obsession. And yet those who pursue it aren't nearly as well known as Hillary and Norgay. And unlike the thousands of mountaineers who attempt to go upward, there are far fewer people who try to plumb the Earth's depths. James Tabor writes about two supercavers in their 2004 race to find the deepest place on Earth in his book, Blind Descent, which was recently released in paperback. We spoke with him when the book first came out and asked, so where is the deepest cave on Earth?
The deepest cave on Earth, well, maybe I shouldn't spell out the secret, but I'll tell you the two candidates.
Okay.
One is a great super cave in Mexico called Cheve, southern Mexico, and the other is a great super cave in the Republic of Georgia called Krubera. And in 2004, two great scientist explorers were leading two separate expeditions into those caves, each man thinking his would turn out to be the deepest of all.
Well, let's start with explaining to folks what deep cave exploration or super caving is. What is it?
It's like climbing Mount Everest in reverse. These great expeditions involve scores of participants who are on site for months. They cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in the biggest caves, the participants are underground for up to a month. Contrast that to climbers on Everest who are really on technical terrain, say, for 7 to 10 days maximum.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe actually what it's like to go through these depths and really what's encountered most of the time by the folks who supercave?
Sure. There are many, many challenges involved in supercaving that are not found in any other form of exploration. I'll tell you, the most noticeable one is that you do it in absolute eternal darkness. Now, it's true that cavers have lights, but unless you are moving or performing a task, you turn your light off. So you spend the bulk of your time in that kind of darkness. The eyes never adjust to it. They're always relaying back false light images to you. And some people will eventually start hallucinating from that kind of activity. People have reported seeing skulls floating around and demon faces and all kinds of bizarre, deranging things. The other thing that most people might not realize is that supercaving is tremendously vertical. There are huge vertical drops in all supercaves, Cheve and Kruber and all the others, which have to be rappelled using specialized heavy-duty equipment. And then there are also flooded tunnels that they're called sumps. Some of them are short enough that you can hold your breath and dive through quickly, like 5 to 8 feet, but many are huge and require very sophisticated scuba diving equipment to get through. It's the most dangerous, absolutely the most dangerous form of scuba diving on Earth, and all things considered, I think the most dangerous form of exploration. There's absolutely no margin for error, and if anything goes wrong, well, you're just going to stay there.
There's no rescue team.
Well, that's where I was going to go next. You can be rescued now. The French put a helicopter on top of Mount Everest in 2005. So essentially, you can be rescued from any mountain on Earth. We have submersibles that can rescue trapped mariners thousands of feet deep. There's no rescue from a supercave when you're deep down in there. For one thing, there's no communication with the surface. So if you're 5 miles in and 6,000 feet down and you get in trouble, you solve the problem on your own or you don't. You know, even Apollo 13 had radio contact with Mission Control, which helped them save themselves. Not so in a supercave. The experienced cavers have a saying, if you get hurt down there, chances are good you're not coming out. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing is, only in supercaves do the explorers not know what the next 10 feet, 10 yards, or half mile will bring. Every other form of exploration involves previewing with images or maps, whether you're talking about space flight, oceaneering, mountaineering. There's no way to get those previews in a cave. The only way to do it is to put human feet in the cave and eyes in the passage.
Is that part of the draw?
For the people who are serious super cavers, I think absolutely it's part of the draw. Mm. You will hear every one of them say, I love the idea of being able to go where no human has ever gone before. tremendously adrenalizing for them, I think.
And how big is the Super Caver community, would you say? Is it?
It's smaller even than the community of extreme mountaineers, if you will, because there are so many skill sets required. You have to be an extraordinarily experienced and proficient diver. You have to be a climber. You have to be able to ascend on these very complicated ascent rigs. I'm sure there are fewer than 100, and there are probably fewer than 50 really qualified Super Cavers on Earth.
Wow. We won't give it away. We absolutely will not give it away who found the deepest place and where it is. But say we've got Bill Stone on the American team. He's a little bit prickly. He's alpha male. Mm. And then you've got the Ukrainian team. Describe that.
As different as night and day. You know, Bill Stone, first of all, is a huge guy. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. He's solid as a rock. He is an alpha male, as you said, and an impatient type A. And then over on the other side of the world, you've got Alexander Klimchuk. His cavers call him Father Klim because he's so kindly and so avuncular. He's a little guy. He's 5'8", weighs maybe 145 pounds. And his approach to exploration and science is to build great multi-talented teams. Now, he has certainly led his share of expeditions, but he's not reluctant to delegate that to trusted younger cavers. Bill Stone is like a Civil War general. He's always in front, always. And he's doing the hardest, most dangerous, most risky things, but he's always in front. Hmm. So they're very, very different.
Hmm. And what about the two caves that they're both focused on in your book? Those are very different as well.
They are indeed. If you can visualize a giant L, that's Cheve. The vertical shaft is about 3,000 vertical feet deep and requires...
And this is Bill Stone's cave.
This is Bill Stone's cave, mm-hmm. Yeah. Requires passage through about 2.5 miles of passageways and various things to get to the bottom of that. And then there's a long, more gradually descending sort of semi-horizontal foot to the L, goes another 2.5 miles and drops another roughly 2,000 vertical feet. It's not a terribly cold cave, 64 degrees, air temperature, give or take, and mid-60s in water. Then you go over to Kruber, and you look at its profile, and it looks like an immense elevator shaft. It's very, very deep, deep enough that you could put, let's say, as many as 7 Empire State Buildings in it. But 90% of its terrain is vertical and technical. In other words, you're on rope going down or coming up 90% of the time. It's freezing in Krubera. The water temperature is always 32 degrees Fahrenheit because it's coming off a glacial melt. And the air temperature is 34 degrees in summer and 0 degrees in winter, which actually is when they prefer to climb in the winter because there's less chance of flash floods.
Huh. I bet the American team and the Ukrainian team debate which cave is rougher to deal with and which one has more challenges.
They absolutely do. You know, Bill Stone will tell you that there's more pools and water and water hazards in his cave, and Alexander will tell you that his cave is steeper and colder. And in fact, I've talked to 2 people who were in both caves, and there aren't very many who have done that. And they both said, you know what, they're both dangerous as heck. They'll kill you if your attention wanders for a second. One's a little warmer, one's a little colder. But you know what? They're still just like K2s of caves.
So do you think maybe right now we have a deepest point on Earth that you outline in your book that we won't give away, but there's quite possibly somewhere where it's deeper?
I think we have found it, and I'll tell you why. There are very few places on Earth where the geologic conditions exist for the formation of super caves.
That's James Tabor. His book, Blind Descent, The Quest to Discover the Deepest Cave on Earth, is now in paperback. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Deborah Becker. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, on the web at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.